Hey, good afternoon, everybody. We still don't quite have a quorum, but I'm going to call the meeting to order at this time anyway. Mary, would you like to read the roll?
Yes, I will. Bear with me one moment. Okay, in the room, we have Scott Nelson.
I'll explain that.
Lieutenant Ben Enders. Myself, Ms. Panasoff, Paul Fussy, Scott Slomo, Kevin Rockwell, Naomi Wiley, Miguel Lovato, Joe Siska. On Teams, we have Tammy Gosia Cockrell, Karen Kawara, Fire Marshal Carl Green, Johnny Lane, Paul Merker, Rick Rambo, Scott Roberts, Zach McVay, and Peter Summers. Have I missed anybody?
Staff Sergeant Ray from Elmendorf.
Thank you. Thanks, we're very close.
Okay.
We do not have a quorum. We have one lacking.
Okay. So, by the book, since we don't quite have a quorum, we will be skipping the meeting minutes. We can't vote to approve things, but we can have discussions. So I'd like to proceed with that. Do we have any special guests today, Mary?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, everyone, this is Paul Fussy. We do have folks from Motorola here. I'd like to let them introduce themselves.
Joe Pixa, account manager for Motorola.
Miguel Lombana, I am the new regional services manager for Motorola.
Naomi Wiley, customer support manager.
That's all I guess we have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for joining us. So we could go on. Can we do issues and risks? Yeah, okay. Let's do the issues and risks log.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Everyone, this is Paul Fussy. As the chair said, we're just going to discuss things. We can't vote or anything. But for situational awareness, we do have the alternates we're looking for. Mary has sent out emails again for federal non-DOD and for Southeast. Also, talking with Mr. Henry Cole, we did add one other to the issues and risk log. A primary alternate is needed for DOT. As of today, Mr. Henry Cole is actively searching for his replacement. Mr. John Clendenin, while also moving on to other duties, will need a replacement also. So we will need a primary alternate for DOT. That's all we have for right now on issues and risk log, Mr. Chair.
Great, thank you. Any comments on the issue and risk log? Hearing nothing, why don't we move on to the action items?
All right, thanks, Mr. Chair. So everyone, number one and number two have been on here for quite a while, and I've talked to Joe Pixa, and I apologize for misspelling his name on the action items. But either he himself or another individual from Motorola will be giving a presentation on December 3rd on the APX Next radios, possible costs, the accoutrement that comes with them, and what they're capable of doing. I put that on here for the November meeting so everyone knows that after the December 3rd meeting, Motorola will be giving a presentation to APX Next, and that should be able to have us remove items 1 and 2 from there. So if you want to learn about the APX Next radios, it would behoove you to be here for the December 3rd meeting. Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Fussy. Were there any questions or comments regarding the action items? Okay, hearing none, Mr. Fussy, would you I'm going right into the operation management.
I'll be happy to, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
So everyone, for the training, Mr. Dan Nelson has been working on the latest training video, and that'll be for the push-to-talk function. He sent the draft over to the video, and that'll be posted on our website here in a little while. On outreach, the EMR newsletter was sent out on October 15th. Mary also put that on her website, and the current and every previous newsletter is on our website there, so you can go back and read the different articles on there. I have been attending the monthly APO meeting, that's the Alaska Police Officer Association meeting, and I also attended the monthly APCO NENA meeting, that's for dispatchers. And at the last meeting, they did vote. They will not meet again until January due to the holidays coming up on that one. Patrick Thornton, Nick, and I met with the UAA police chief and their lead dispatcher. We talked about their need to installing a bidirectional amplifier at their Matthew Borough campus, another radio operation. And we also talked with the A. Warren, Mark Newman and his team, and Jason Beach on that one. Because the Matthew Borough campus for UAA, the police are on the 7800 megahertz. They're on the A-Warn system. However, the Matthew Borough campus is right at the edge between the VHF and 7800 megahertz. So they will have to possibly put in a dual BDA, but that's up to them. So we met with them, talked about that. Also, Patrick Thornton and I were asked to give a presentation on bidirectional amplifier systems this month at the meeting of the fire marshals. So the deputy fire marshal and the review board asked us to meet. So we answered several questions with them and sent information to the state office for dissemination on the requirements for the NFPA 1225-170 and IFC. So you have National Fire Protection Association codes and then also the International Fire Chief Codes 510, and what the Safety Building Coalition is proposing for 2027. There will be some changes if they're approved for bidirectional amplifiers and also the frequencies on there. And if anybody wants to take a look at those, they can go to the Safer Building Coalition website and look at the proposals that they've sent to the FCC. The comment period did end October 31st, but you can still see what they did propose on that one. Myself, Mr. Stormo, Nick, and the SWIC, we attended the FirstNet meeting along with several fire chiefs over possible areas that they want to talk about in conjunction with A. Lamar. And then I also attended the monthly APIP meeting, which is Alaska Partnership for Infrastructure Protection. It was really good a meeting on that one. And then also, I've been attending the daily FEOC, which is State Emergency Operations Center briefings regarding the destruction from Typhoon Halong, and seeing if there's any taskings for ALMR. There have not been any requests, but I've been sitting in on every day in case something pops up that we can help them out. Also, today and tomorrow, I have been sitting through the conference for advancement for the public sector seminars. They run through tomorrow. A lot of information on there for PSAPs, ALMR, cybersecurity, and public safety radio systems. Any questions before I go to the system upgrade?
Can I make a comment?
Yes, sir. The chair can go ahead, Mr. Pixa.
So on the building that you're describing that you may have to put a bidirectional amplifier in, do you have commercial coverage inside of the building?
Through the chair, Mr. Pixa, that would be a question for the University of Alaska Anchorage fire chief.
So if your AT&T phones or your Verizon phones working there now, regarding the training that you want on the 3rd, those radios that have LTE in them, you could use, if you have the LTE signal inside of those buildings, you could use those radios inside that building with your ALMR talk groups without having to build and put in a new bidirectional amplifier. That's one solution. And the second solution would be if that building currently has Wi-Fi, then you could use any of the Wi-Fi enabled radios that you have to go into that building as well, again, using it the same way, possibly alleviating having to build out a bidirectional amplifier in the building. However, this is commercial carriers usage. It's not necessarily mission critical. However, it'll work, and it'll provide, if you have an LTE signal in there, it will work, or if you have Wi-Fi in there, it will work. And you'll be able to use, whether you have all the way from your N50, N70, or the Apex dual band radios, pretty much the radios that you guys will be testing, those all have LTE. They should work in the building if you have LTE in there or Wi-Fi.
Through the chair, Mr. Pick, we can talk about that after the meeting too, and then we can make sure that the UAA police chief is here for the December meeting.
Cool.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments?
Excuse me,
we're live. Hello. Yeah, it came in a little broken. Can you say again?
Okay. Eight Summers of the University Police Department, just kind of acknowledging the past conversation and taking notes, and I'll make a request for the chief to be able to attend our next meeting.
Well, thank you, sir. Okay. Anybody else?
Thank you. So for the system upgrade, we're still meeting regularly regarding closing up the upgrade project. The TAS and TAN have been upgraded and tested. Also, this is a reminder, the remote security update team is pushing updates next week to applicable window clients. So just make sure that when it goes out, and Claire will have it in the daily on there, to ensure the devices are powered on and accessible. It is not recommended to reboot a device during the scheduled patching activity. So make sure you take a look at Claire's daily and when it's going to be done, and then we'll reach out later on if your computer needs to be rebooted. So Nick and I did work with Capital Transit buses. We did turn on TDMA. We did some testing with there. However, we did have to turn off the next day due to some issues. So as they're working on that and fixing that problem with the RF signal, what we'll do is we'll turn it back on. But we did turn TDMA on for Capital Transit, and unfortunately we had to turn it back off. Also, we turned TDMA on for Central Emergency Services and Kenai, did some testing on there. We noticed there were some issues. We turned it back off, so we're working with them to fix that. Once again, we're working hard to get TDMA turned on for these different talk groups, but we do not want to put anything in jeopardy, so we're slowly doing it one agency at a time. So, and then also, the systems management office technicians completed 3 PMIs for October. So October document reviews, information system clearing and sanitation policy and procedure was done. And then talk group development policy procedure was also completed. So I will go to the metrics. Pending any questions so far?
I'm assuming those TDMA talk groups are going to work with programming issues on the code class.
Through the chair, Mr. Stormwell, yes, some were.
Right. And that's either you've got to really, really know what you're doing to know that your radio's programmed right, or you'll, the only way to find this out is by doing the testing that you're doing right now. So it's a problem that's going to have to be worked through, you know, one by one, or as Paul said, we could turn everybody on. If their radio didn't work, they would have to call the help desk and have them turn that back off. But it's going to be a slow and painful process, but it's got to be done. I would just say, don't be afraid to try it, but know that the help desk can turn you back off real quick if necessary. So if you don't have the ready expertise of somebody to program your radios to look at it and tell you if it's for sure good to go, you can find out the operational way. But we've got to keep going and keep doing this. So.
Through the chair, Mr. Stormo, that's correct. So that's why we do our outreach. We take a look at agencies that have majority of TDMA radios or all TDMA radios, and then we work with their representative to turn on what talk groups they want to. Then we conduct testing on there, and we make sure to let them know that if there are any issues whatsoever, we can immediately turn it off. So it doesn't take much to turn them on or turn them off. And we're working with another group right now. I'm just waiting to hear back from their radio person on their programming, and then we're going to reach out and turn on TDMA for their talk group, do some more testing with that one. But I want to emphasize for everyone online and then here in the room, I will not turn TDMA on carte blanche for every agency. We're dealing with police, fire, EMS, life safety issues. So Nick and I, as Mr. Stormel said, it is a slow and painful process, but it's a deliberate process. And we're doing it slowly and deliberately to make sure that when we do turn them on, everything works and we're not jeopardizing anyone. So through the chair, does that answer your question, Mr. Stormel? Yep. For the group, once again, this is Paul. Are there any questions before I go to the metrics? Hang on, Mr. Chair, I'll continue.
Yes, sir.
So when we start looking at monthly group and individual calls, we had 1,798,872 system-wide. Our monthly push-to-talks were 2,748,633. And on all those, we only had 353 busies. So monthly sites below 3 9s, we actually had 9. We start looking at some brief site bouncing, either circuit or microwave issues, High Mountain, Pillar, Sunny Hay, Valdez, Woman's Bay. Like I mentioned earlier, Nick's team was doing PMI, so Bailey Hill, Blueberry Hill, and Site Summit. And there was some troubleshooting RX feed lines over at Canyon Creek. We started looking at subscriber counts, looking at the different zones. as I brought up before, and everyone should be familiar with now, that Las Municipal League, the gray is the municipality of Anchorage. They're only on zone 4, so that's where the 6,296 come in. And then totality, we have subscriber counts of 32,776. Once again, I want to thank everyone for being proactive and turning in your subscriber requests to remove radios that you are not using. So this is the second month in a row we are below the 32,000 limit. So cannot stress that enough. I appreciate everybody's help on that and answering all my emails and phone calls that I've been making. But state of Alaska, we have 9,405 subscribers. DOD, 9,533. Local municipal city, 11,941. And federal, 1,897. Are there any questions on the metrics at all? Anything online, Mary?
No.
Okay, everyone, for the others, just closing comments here. The Executive Council has a new Alaska Municipal League representative. That is Mr. Ronald Dial. He's an assembly member for Ketchikan Gateway Borough. So the Alaska Municipal League met last month and nominated him. So for the Executive Council, we do have Mr. Ronald Dial. He'll be in at the next Executive Council meeting. Also, if everyone take a look at the Illinois website next couple of weeks, and let us know if you have any suggestions for design upgrades. We do not want to keep and maintain that website in a vacuum. If you see something that you want to change or have any ideas for us, please let us know. Because we maintain it. However, it's your website. Everyone who's a member of ALMR, that is your website. So take a look at it. If there's something that you think could be changed or suggestions, please let us know. Coming up, I know this is next month, however, this is going to be during our next user council meeting. The 2025 Executive Development Conference, that is for law enforcement, and it's sponsored by the FBI National Academy. That'll be in Anchorage, December 2nd to the 5th. So that'll be going on. And then the last one is Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. So that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Fudge. Are there any further comments or questions regarding regarding Mr. Faustini's presentation? Okay, hearing none, we can go on to the system management office. Nick, do you have anything for us?
I do. Thank you, first off. So as Paul and Scott mentioned about the TDMA issues, yes, so far, in fact, it has been just the radio programming side of it. When you're programming these radios and you think you're 100% ready to go and test it, I mean, by all means, we can go ahead and test it, but you can also just give us a code plug from one of your radios if you want us to double verify that, in fact, that you are good to go. You know, two eyes is always better than one, as they say. Along with the programming of the TDMA, something that I've seen coming up more and more is duplicate IDs. There is one agency in particular who was kind of shocked that they had multiple duplicate IDs across a lot of their radios and now have to go back and reprogram said radios. Duplicate IDs can affect a lot of things, between transmitting, not receiving audio, and it's really difficult to troubleshoot it from the system level unless I'm actively watching the radio itself or radios, in this case, you know, jump between sites or jump between talk groups really quickly. Jumping over to the BDA stuff, one thing I wanted to mention, you know, this is maybe something that some people think of, some people don't, but BDAs, yes, they can help with indoor coverage and all that, but if you start having a BDA in every single building within the city, you're going to start getting more and more issues. You're essentially going to be deafening out other BDAs, other radios, to the point that no one can do anything. So you can start essentially, you know, being counterproductive in that sense. So just be mindful of that. You know, have your proper site surveys beforehand, you know, scanning, make sure that it's not going to cause any potential interference. And that's all I've got.
Any vendors installing that should know that and should make sure that they're designed and that they're, and it should be tested annually to make sure it is functioning as it was supposed to.
Yes.
Ideally. All right. Does anybody have any questions for Nick?
A hand up.
Oh, got a hand up? Okay, go ahead, sir.
Wherever
it is.
Hi, Mr. Chair. It's Kyle Green up here in Municipalities North. Question for Mr. Fussy and Mr. Fernstock, if I can.
Yes, sir. Proceed.
Yeah, gentlemen, I was wondering, in your conversations with the State Fire Marshal's Office and the Plan Review Bureau, was there conversations about perhaps adopting a permit or requiring a permit for installers of these BDA or other such radio systems that recognizes the new NICET requirements or the NICET testing standard to issue permits on, or if that makes any sense. Was there any discussion about that?
Through the chair, Mr. Green. This is Paul. Patrick Thornton and I. Nick wasn't at that meeting. However, we didn't get any questions on there. I did bring it up. And then Mr. Fisher requested all the slide deck that I have from Safer Building Coalitions and the other training presentations I've had with the NICET requirements for installer licenses. But nothing was brought up about adaptation. We gave a presentation and left. So if there's any questions after that, after we left, I'm not familiar with that for adaptation. That would be a question for Deputy Fire Marshal Bronis or Mr. Fisher.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you. there is the 24 code adoption has been paused. I don't know if they mentioned that, but it'll have to go back out for public comment, and it would be an opportunity to forward such suggestions, you know, to require permitting and approval of permitting. So those installation contractors can be tracked. Right now, one of the concerns would be is that if you have an out-of-state person coming in, to install these systems, I think there's some joint things that could be done to help alleviate the concerns with ALMR has, and then also meet our fire and building code obligations that we have as fire and building officials. So we'll have to just watch out for when that opportunity exists. And great to hear that there's dialogue between the State Fire Marshal's Office and this group. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments before we move on? Okay, hearing nothing. It's time for state and DOD updates. I see Scott's chomping at the bit.
not much to say today, just a quick update on the couple of projects we've had ongoing. The access consoles installed up at the Fairbanks AST dispatch project is complete, signed up the final closeout documentation, and just waiting to make the final payment. The $24 million AMR upgrade project is pretty much complete. Just kind of waiting for the final documentation package, and we'll be closing that out. That's on the state side. There is still other projects ongoing with local or with DOD. DOD is still related to some of the upgrades. We'll let Tim talk to that.
All right. Any questions for Scott? Okay. Hearing none. Mr. Will, do you have anything from on your end?
Yeah, we did get the transportable north and transportable south upgraded. We completed the ATP. We did find out during the ATP that PWIX had programmed all of our radios incorrectly. We don't know if that same code plug, because these are common talk groups across the radios that they program everywhere, didn't have the right security settings in for secure operation. So we did discover that, so the radios have to be programmed. But the both the TAN and TAS worked properly. We do have some infrastructure issues with regard to old T1 networks that have to be upgraded to Ethernet. I'm sure that the infrastructure on J-Bear and probably on Allison are going to have some issues until they get that straight. As far as the transportable, we keep it connected typically online hot using before a T1. We're getting a new Ethernet line put in. But yeah, operationally, we would be using microwave. 90% of the time we've been using microwave. So we ATP and tested it that way, and it passed. So DOD should, if you're not tracking, we're going to be working on the new contract, and we will be setting up a what we'll call the sub working group to review the statement of work, the requirements, and get your validation for that so that we can go forward with the correct requirements to the state. The state will be, again, the contracting agency. The DOD will be a third-party beneficiary of that. In other words, they won't be signatory to the contract. Our legal bounds with the state of Alaska will be executed through an intergovernmental service support agreement, which was approved by the Department of the Army and the Department of the Air Force for execution. So all the updates I have, unless there's any other questions.
Are there any questions for Mr. Woodall? Okay, thank you, Mr. Woodall. Hearing none, time to hear from the council representatives. We can start with the state of Alaska. Are there any updates from the Department of Public Safety?
Is Mr. Rocco on. I didn't.
He was, but now he's not.
Okay. I would just add that we have fielded about 10 of the N70s with LTE capability in a couple locations. And we've got about 5 more that we're going to field down in the Kenai, 5 up out of the Fairbanks region, and 5 are out in the valley. So we're just looking at how it fills those holes where we have known, you know, terrain issues where, you know, we don't have LMR. And then we do have a test going on with First Net push to talk on some of the phones, and got some good feedback from that. That's all I had.
Oh, great. Thank you. How about the Department of Transportation? Is anybody on? Nope, nobody's online for the DOT. We're moving on, which would be me. I see it's all others. So nothing really with ALMR other than just awaiting the delivery of radios. And then after that, we'll turn those over for programming. as far as communication on or within the building in the garden, the guard annex, I do have a tower that's being erected. It's about 75 foot. On top of it will be an HF antenna, and we'll be transmitting 1 kilowatt with that. But in addition, I've also requested AT&T if they would like to put some of their antennas on the tower as well. Haven't heard anything back from them. GCI is already there. We have GCI antennas there, so you can get that signal. But a big complaint within the building is that there's just they can't get their AT&T signal, and the LTE there is pretty thin. And on top of that, it's a dual military state building. The state is actually a tenant, so. When you talk about Wi-Fi, you have two different, very different networks, and they're both locked down. So if you are in a room that's military, your state Wi-Fi isn't going to work, and vice versa. So just working on solutions for that.
Scott, are you asking AT&T to put cell towers on that tower?
Yeah, cell antennas.
Cell antennas?
Yeah. They'd be willing.
Just be aware that that in order to do that, they have to comply with Section 704C of the Telecommunications Act, and it would require them to have a study completed by the Joint Spectrum Center, Annapolis, Maryland. That would cost them about $25,000 to get that done. So, if you're asking them to do something, they may ask you to pay for that study. So, AT&T does have cell equipment on towers on J-Bear. You could talk to them about lack of coverage. I wouldn't invite them to put anything on your tower and then say, hey, can you come over and see, and then maybe they'll on their own. And then you can say, hey, we'd be willing to sponsor you onto a tower, but I wouldn't recommend that you specifically invite them to do so unless they initiate it first. I mean, you can say, hey, I think we have a coverage issue out here. What are your future plans? And then just a suggestion on my part.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Woodall. Yeah, I take that to heart. That's all I have. And Carl is busy. He is deployed at the moment, working on this disaster. So we move on to the DOD. Is there anything from the U.S. Army? No? Okay.
I think the Army reps are furloughed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what about Jaber? That would be okay. Great. Sergeant Dante, are you there?
Yes, sir. Nothing to report from Jaber.
Thank you, sir. How about anyone from Eielson?
Yeah, I did.
That's a negative. How about non-DOD representatives? This could be.
I have nobody from the non-DOD section.
Yeah, that makes sense. They could be furloughed as well. How about municipality? Municipality Central?
Hi, this is Tammy in Soldotna, and I have nothing for to report this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. Is Mr. Goodman on? Nope, okay. How about municipalities north?
Okay. Nothing to report for Keith or Kyle.
Thank you, sir. Municipality southeast?
This is Erin Calwara, and we have a RFP out right now for subscriber radios, and we expect when that closes and we go under contract and receive those new radios that we will be increasing our ALMR use for law enforcement in Juneau, and we will be greatly expanding to include portable and mobiles for our community health partners, rescues, fire, EMS users. And I had a call. I've been going back and forth with someone who might be interested in representing Southeast on the user council. We've been playing phone tag for about a week. So I'm happy to report that, and I'll let Mary know how that goes.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Erin. You have anything, Mary? Great. Okay. Thank you. So that is, we're done with that. Does anyone have any new business to offer up? Mr. Fussy, your hand's up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So October was the beginning of the annual election process of the user council chair and vice chair positions. Nominations are done in October, and then voting occurs in November. So the selectees can be announced in December and then take office in January, obviously. After this meeting, Mary will be sending out emails with the ballots. Please send your ballot back only to Mary, nobody else, just to Mary. There must be a quorum of both 7 for one candidate to win, and ballots will be due back by November 19th.
Thank you, Mr. Fussy.
I have new business.
Through the chair, Mr. Reed, I see that you're online. Is there anything you want to discuss, sir?
Not at this time. Thank you, Mr. Fussy.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Mr. Nelson, I have new business to propose.
Okay. I'm just going to real quick. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions regarding the ballot initiative at all about how this works? Okay. Hearing nothing, I'm moving on to new business. Mr. Woodall, you have the floor.
Yes, in execution of the intergovernmental support agreement, in order to make the agreements so that we're not having to change them often with regard to points of contacts and other certain information about the system, because in there we define the system and we point to the appendix that identifies the system description. The motion that I would recommend is that we be allowed to amend appropriate appendixes to the cooperative agreement to comply with the IGSA requirements.
He was not here earlier. So he does not know that we do not have a quorum today.
Oh, okay. Well, we can put the motion out there and hold it in abeyance so I don't have to say it again.
Through the chair, Mr. Woodall, we can put it in for new business for next meeting. Would that be okay, sir?
Yeah, fine. You can just use my wording and put it in as new business and be fine with that.
You don't want to say it twice.
I don't.
Roger that. Okay. Does anybody else have any new business to offer up? And yeah, unfortunately, we did not get a quorum during this session, so just new business we wouldn't want to make a motion or vote on. Wow. Okay. I'm hearing nothing. So. Going on. Next meetings are going to be December 3rd and then January 7th. I bet if you look at your calendars, those will fall on a Wednesday.
Mr. Chair, just remind everyone, since we don't have a quorum today, this is not an official meeting, so once again, we can't make any motions or anything. However, Mary, we'll put the notes, of what we're going to call it, online, so you can take a look at them. But this is an unofficial meeting without a quorum. So we will be posting it, like I said, but it'll just be notes and not an official meeting. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Fussy. So I'm not even entertaining a motion to adjourn because there's no motions. Yeah, you went on me. Okay, so consider this, unless there are any further questions or comments, this meeting is adjourned. Anybody have anything? Okay, meeting's adjourned. Thank you all for attending.
Have a good day, everybody. Thank you.